got it. Here we go. On a Thursday. Thanks, everybody, for riding to us. State Roofing, 98973. That's the text line there. Plus, also write to us at mynorthwest.com. We do appreciate your input. One of you gets a chance to be the letter of the day, as chosen by the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Thanks also to Bucky's Auto Service Centers. I think today's the day. If I'm going to get Rye to answer his phone, what is it about kids that don't want to answer the phone anymore? It's the most frustrating thing. Rye, I'm calling you so we can take the Prius, which is breaking down, to Bucky's Auto Service Centers. We've got 16 locations. We'll take it to Renton. That's the closest to our house. They've been around for 50 years, Tom.
Wow, half a century.
Just like that Prius. I mean, I hope they don't discriminate against us. I'm like, you know what? This car is too far gone.
Wow.
When the mechanic has to take you over like you do at a hospital and talk to you about nickel and diming you to death, you're like, really? They kind of walk you over to a special section near the donuts. I talk to you for just a moment about your car. Like, oh, no, here it comes. All right. You call them a domestic terrorist. You know what happens? People give them money. Worked out well for Matt Shea, described as a domestic terrorist, and people go to his website and they start saying, you know what, I'm all for everything you believe in, so here's $50 or $5 or $100. Go, Matt Shea, go.
Danny Westney does another cleverly written, you know, punchline of a column about Matt Shea. He, because of all this bad press, he supposedly got the state legislative report on him that he planned, engaged in, and promoted a total of 3 armed conflicts of political violence against the United States government over a 3-year period. That's all in quotes. He now ranks as he's second among Republicans in individual donors. Now, corporations, the corporate donor has backed away because it's a bad look for them, but the individual donors have increased by a lot. So he raised like 40 grand, relatively recently. And it's all these individual donors. And what Danny Westgate ruefully notes is that tells us a lot about the kind of climate that we're living in. He has his own podcast, Matt Shea does, called Patriot Radio. And the kind of language he uses Danny Westgate says, sounds familiar. It sounds a lot like Donald Trump, that this investigation is a sham. It's a hoax. It's a tyranny being forced down our throats. And son of a gun, if that doesn't seem to be the case. Now, the GOP, the stolid GOP, they did suspend him and they did strip him of his committee assignments. Mm-hmm. But they decided not to expel him. Danny Westney asked, if plotting armed insurrection isn't grounds for getting kicked out, what is? Sure, there are allegations at this point, but Shea, like Donald Trump, says these aren't even worth addressing. So perversely, he ends up benefiting from that, and politically, he is going to get away with it. It sounds like by leaving it up to the voters,
right? And isn't that the way it's supposed to be? He's in the 4th district, there, 4th legislative district. He won by almost 60% in 2018. He had a lot of junk hanging over his head back then.
Yes,
he has more junk hanging over his head. If you want to take a shot at Matt Shea and run him out of office, run up against him and see how you do, and see who the people of the Spokane Valley in the 4th Legislative District choose.
That's right.
And it's up to them.
They would vote for a Republican. The question is, would a Republican challenge Matt Shea and win, a more traditional Republican rather than a domestic terrorist Republican?
Yes.
And here, Westney quotes the conclusion of this state report that says, Representative Shea ascertains political power from creating radicalization nodes, such as 3 armed conflicts that he has either instigated or exacerbated, and each such radicalization node grows the Patriot Movement and enhances his standing in the Patriot Movement and his political power. It is more probable than not that he will continue with his activities of creating or engaging in conflicts that benefit him politically.
Sure.
And so Danny Westgate is laughing. Radicalization nodes, beneficial conflict, no repercussions. That's the recipe for success. As I pointed out earlier in the column, nothing matters. This should be the new mantra for politics.
Right. Shama Sawant, same thing. You want to be a socialist and take over Boeing? How are you going to go about doing that? You're going to turn the airplanes into buses? How do you do that? Do you have to take over? Is it going to be armed? Is it the force of the government? She's just as nutty and crazy, and her district votes her in. She's a socialist. Socialism leads to murder. And in this case, Matt Shea.
What did you just say? Socialism leads to murder?
Yeah.
Case closed.
You are a toilet human, Tom.
And apparently proud of it. Maybe that'll boost my political power like Matt Shea's.
Yeah, listen, let the people decide. They don't want him in there. Let him. What are you going to kick him out? You gonna kick, people want to kick him out?
No, I mean, that's a question for the Republican Party. Yeah.
Bad for the Republican Party? It's a big tent. Should have room for someone like this.
It never used to be that big a tent.
It's a big tent. We should extend it all the way out. You know, plus also people through the redemption of Jesus Christ, this guy's a big believer in Christianity. You know, you can get forgiveness.
He's not asking for forgiveness. Leading the charge. Yeah.
You might want it.
Okay.
Yeah, Bobby Rush wins. Bobby Rush was a Black Panther. He runs for Congress in Illinois, I think out of Chicago.
Yeah.
That guy was a radical, you know, and then he mentioned people like, okay, he's kind of calmed down, but he's been serving for a long time in there. And he was, there's an example of somebody that came from a radical background that had a whole bunch of things that were said and he believed in. And, you know, maybe he had kind of softened a little bit.
Well, in the old days, the GOP used to be the law and order party, and now they're promoting domestic terrorism.
Big tent, lots of room. Come on in. What's their official title, Harry and Meghan? What are they? Are they royalty kids, or inherit? What will they inherit at some point?
Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
Of Sussex.
Oh, look at you!
Look at you! Yeah,
millennials royal
are so into that. They said they're stepping back.
Sixth in line.
Stepping back from the royal family. The palace says it is complicated. That's what they're saying. So
that's they didn't know anything about it.
They didn't tell anybody?
They did not consult with the people, the powers that normally are consulted with, before they made this big announcement that they were, in effect, stepping back. The last person to step back from the royal family, Prince Andrew, for all that Jeffrey Epstein stuff, he was forced out. This is a willful step back.
Who was the woman that with the red hair that was part of that thing, and then she became Weight Watchers? What's her name?
That was Prince Andrew's wife.
Really?
Sarah Ferguson, I think. Yeah.
He's obviously very concerned about protection.
This is Meghan Markle talking about the challenges of being in the royal family during an ITV interview. This is from last year.
He's obviously very concerned about protecting you and protecting you from what he felt his mother went through. It's obviously an area one has to tiptoe into very gently, but I don't know what the impact on your physical and mental health of all the pressure that you clearly feel under.
Look, any woman, especially when they're pregnant, you're really vulnerable. And so that was made really challenging. And then when you have a newborn,
it's a long time ago, but I remember.
You know, and especially as a woman, it's a lot. So you add this on top of just trying to be a new mom or trying to be a newlywed. It's I guess. And also, thank you for asking, because not many people have asked if I'm okay. But it's. It's a very real thing to be going through behind the scenes.
And the answer is, would it be fair to say not really okay, since it's really been a struggle?
Yes.
Okay, so much a struggle that she decides and he decides, we don't want to be part of this anymore. We want to get away from the spotlight. We want to live our own life. We want to live in a trailer in Arkansas.
With Bill Clinton, who's also a friend of Jeffrey Epstein's.
Just collect disability insurance.
Yeah, no, so it's not that radical a break. They still will fulfill many of their duties, but they do not want to be on the front line of those duties. I can imagine the British press are ripping the two of them a big one for abandoning their duties. I'm sure that she's getting all the blame. I knew there'd be trouble if he married a bloody American. They are going to sort of split their time in North America and in London. They still figure that they could do 3 or 4 months out of the year. They could still do all of their royal duties. I think maybe one of the more significant angles of this is that they decided that they were going to work to become financially independent, which is rare because everything is paid for when you're a senior member, as they call it, of the royal family. But I love the way the Washington Post put this, that the popular royals may be fed up with an anachronistic, cosseted life of endless ribbon cutting and fusty scripted engagements. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes maybe an American who, you know, lives in L.A. to kind of break that pattern. But I'm sure that she's already been pilloried in the press in Britain anyway for being too American. And now this is just going
to. Well, Harry had said a couple of months ago that he wants to do something real in the world. He wants to make something meaningful.
That's right.
He wants to sort of be part of reality as opposed to this sort of strange amalgamation of power and royalty and history. That
yes.
Sort of he floats along in this other sort of yeah. ether world.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of speculation. I mean, that may all look great because you're in castles and all of mm-hmm. this. But he said it's you have to sit through all sorts of ceremonies that are just it's more of a pain. You get to travel, but the kinds of places you travel, you have to be, you know, you're always on guard for a paparazzi and everything else. I think this seems like a healthy step back, and this isn't like you know, his brother. If mm-hmm. his brother and Kate decide they were going to do that, he's next in line after his dad. Mm-hmm. This one, you know, when you're sixth in line, I think you can probably afford to get a little looser with the traditions.
A little loosey-goosey?
Yes, I think so.
Well, like Buddha, Tom, Buddha was, I think, the son of a king or a prince or something like that.
Oh, is that
he
right?
Ended, yeah, and he said, you so know what, that, I'm yeah. leaving all of it. And I think he sat under a tree for like 7 years or something like that, didn't he? I missed that a lot of podcasts.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, he went and sat under a tree.
Yeah.
And he gave up everything. He said, I'm not going to be a part of any of that. And he sort of found this enlightenment of idea of blowing out the eternal flame of passion and being able to sort of just live in the moment. He gave away all of that.
Yeah.
I'll see Harry and Meghan Markle. Yeah. Let's see them really just cut all ties. Because they said that, we're not going to receive this money. But what are they holding on to?
Okay, so the big announcement yesterday, I thought, wow, that's impressive. They are not going to take a dime from the British taxpayers, which support 5% of what they lived on. I said, well, what's the other 95%? The other 95% is from Harry's dad's estate. So they still so to give up 5% and still live on 95% of it. Now, if he's working, he realizes he's not financially independent yet. But if they're working toward that, I wonder if that means that she might go back to become an actress or something, have a career separate from that. But yeah, the last famous royal who married an American with Wall Simpson, that didn't he abdicated from the throne, and that turned out not to be the happiest occasion. I think that the Brits are probably suspicious now of any royal who marries an American. Uh-oh, what's going to happen?
Besides, what kind of job would he get? And then people would hire him for his connections.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you could go into marketing.
Yeah, that's right.
He could be like Sebastian Gorka on TV all the time, pushing whatever he's pushing these days.
Relief Factor.
Yeah, Relief Factor. That's right. Hey, why wouldn't you take Harry? You got Sebastian Gorka or Prince Harry?
The dinner bell or the doorbell when mom and dad cook dinner. Sometimes the kids go when the phone rings. I mean, the doorbell rings and mom's dropping out her lasagna. And all of a sudden you run to the door, come in and you got some sort of the thing you've called in. It's horrible.
Okay.
It's a terrible insult to mom. Plus, when did it all of a sudden become like a restaurant? What's for dinner tonight? We're having this. Oh, I don't like that. You know what? Screw you.
Yeah.
That's what my mom used to say. That's what we're eating. This idea that you could pick and choose what mom makes. If mom wants to make beef stroganoff, it's beef stroganoff. You don't want to eat it, then you're on your own.
Yeah.
Right. That was we're like three different meals for three different kids. That's wrong.
Now who sounds like the old man?
No, that's just reality.
Yeah.
Your mother or your father, whoever it is that's making the meal, that's what you eat.
But that's not the reality, John. The reality is that so many kids, now we're talking about teenagers. I was thinking this was like the college kids who've gotten used to ordering out and then they come home to mom and dad and they don't, you know, they continue that. No, these are kids. They're like teenagers who are so used to doing that on their own. What teenagers like to do, as teenagers, they try to establish independence from your parents. You're still living under their roof, so you have your options for independence are restricted, but this is one of the ways that they can do it. And I don't have as big a problem with this when I found out they're paying it for their own money. I mean, they could get a free dinner, like a lasagna, mom's lasagna, if they wanted, but they would rather spend $12.
Their own money mom's money?
No. Their own. Now, this is where I'm making the distinction. So in a lot of these kids, it's their own money. They said, you know, I just feel like tacos from down the street, and so I'm going to do that. The problem is they say about the other half of these teenagers end up, they're just on like a family account or they already have their mom's or dad's address. And so they end up paying for it. That's like the double insult. But I think that our generation, John, have brought it on ourselves if we actually start using that. How many parents, when they're rushed, they go to McDonald's? I know you didn't, but a lot of kids, it's just a quick way to get the, you know, kids fed. If both parents are working, all this kind of stuff, that I think we've created the industry for this that now is run amok and is undercutting our family dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wasn't part of it. I didn't know anything about it until Rye told me how often people come to McDonald's.
Yeah.
He sees same people 3 or 4 times a week.
Is that right?
Mom's buying everything, just swinging to McDonald's because I guess they're struck on time.
Yes.
So they're just driving in or whatever. Yeah. I'll swing by McDonald's and get, because everybody's got something there they like.
That's right. And I think the drive-thru was brilliant marketing because, you're rushed. You don't even have time to sit down at the table. You just get it in the car. They eat the
Come home,
on the
throw
way.
It all on the table.
So anyway, that's a big trend right now. And the biggest concern, they say, is nutritionally, the reason things taste so darn good is because they're probably full of all sorts of bad stuff. And Chipotle says, hey, wait a minute, you can order nutritious stuff, but the kids, the teenagers don't order the nutritious stuff off their menu. So they end up getting a lot more calories and sodium than they would if they ate at home.
Here's some exciting news from McDonald's for you.
Okay.
You want to hear some exciting Rye? Rye is at the counter.
Don't tell me he's Employee of the Month.
He is not Employee of the Month, Al, but while he's working the counter there at McDonald's, the guy from Dairy Queen, the new manager of the Dairy Queen next to Eastlake, comes in and says, hey, I like your style.
Oh, no.
Come on over to DQ.
Him? Wow.
Rye has to give some long, hard thought about this. Now, of course, Dairy Queen is offering $1 more, but there's a sense of allegiance because McDonald's was the first place that gave Rye his start. So does Rye hang up the McDonald's hat? And the collarless shirt, and does he move over to DQ? As Rye has said, he doesn't want to have to defend DQ's burgers and fries. He knows that McDonald's itself is the name to trust when it comes to fast food. We'll find out what this youngster has to do.
You know, if that youngster...
It's a difficult decision for a young man, Tom. You go to McDonald's, you go to DQ.
If he's your son,
yes, Tom,
he would move to DQ in a second because you have no loyalty to your corporation.
Well, someone's going to pay you $1 more, I said. Eat my dust. Head on over to DQ. I'd be one of those proud parents. So what you got is you got a youngster here, Tom, and you've got two different major organizations that are vying for his skill. Much like G. Scott and his son getting into Ohio State, you'll see me wearing a DQ sweatshirt.
The DQ Buckeyes. I like it.
Has he considered leveraging the offer?
Well, go back to the lady.
Yeah.
But he hasn't had a chance to talk to her yet. Besides, she doesn't speak much English. The beauty of it is that... I said, no, hey, get over there to DQ. Have them, you know, pull you over there, and then I'll get a DQ shirt on and walk around and talk about how you got.
That's right. He's already climbing the corporate ladder.
I said, why not go over to DQ? Dad, I don't have to explain their burgers. No one's going to ask you to explain their burgers. No. Go to get your dollar extra. Who cares?
People don't go to DQ for the burgers. They go for the ice cream. It's called Dairy Queen, for God's sake.
Don't go there. They do go there for the burgers.
I know, but I mean, their advertising isn't about the burgers.
It's like you're the president of DQ. We have to explain your burgers. Right. Just handing the stuff out. Take the dollar and run. All right. What do you think he'll do?
I think he's a good guy. He'll stay at McD.
It's weird. He feels a sense of loyalty.
I know. I love that about him.
Casino, thank you very much for making sure that we get Rachel Bell in here on a weekly basis, except for Friday, much like the Johnny Carson show. She gets to take off on Friday. Where does she go on Friday, Tom? You mean where she goes on Friday?
She goes hiking into the deep woods.
Rachel Bell, hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much.
Tom just said, I don't know if you heard it or not.
No, I didn't. I wasn't here.
You're in the soundproof booth. That you go hiking into the deep woods on Friday. Is that true?
That's right. My goal is to get as many ticks as possible. No, I'm always looking for new locations for a new Muckleshoot Casino in the deep woods.
Well,
luckily for me, I'm going to California tonight, so I am escaping this dumb weather. Listen to this. So my birthday was last Friday, and I was telling a friend.
You are on the air. You see the red light? Just letting you know. Just
oh, I'm sorry.
Raise the bar of entertainment.
I forgot. Whenever you're on the radio, you're only doing news and entertainment. Yes. I'm sorry.
All right, so go ahead. Okay. Spell back.
So,
your birthday was last week.
My birthday was last week, and a friend said, oh, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm having a party here. And then next week, I'm going to California to rent a house with a bunch of friends, and we're going to do a birthday thing there. And she said, oh, a birthday honeymoon. And I was like, ugh. What? And she's like, I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing a birthday honeymoon for my birthday. And I was like, please don't let this be the name of a real thing that I am doing. Is this like a baby boom for birthday people?
Right.
Did I say baby boom? I meant a baby moon. I looked it up. I couldn't find birthday honeymoon anywhere.
Oh,
phew.
But apparently I'm going on one.
Is it trending? Hashtag?
But I am hiking on the Channel Islands, so
I
you are right.
It.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Ready for some stories?
She's an outdoors girl.
I'm an outdoors girl. I have
a backpack.
What's
interesting, because you would figure with hair like yours that would be the last place in the outdoors that you would go.
Dude. You are correct.
Did she just dude me?
My hair.
Wow,
I'm getting
we
ready
really
for California.
On the air. I figured as long as no one's listening anymore, yeah. Let's talk about her hair.
I'm trying to get back in my California mood, dude.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, my hair looks terrible all the time. It's awful. No, I like having curly hair except when I'm camping and hiking because I look like I've been electrocuted. It's terrible. I look around at my friends and they're just like brushing their hair like normal people. Oh, the Jufro comes out in full force.
Oh, the animals, the woodland animals see you coming.
Mostly the birds are nesting.
Let's see about, I know you have a real problem with the highly packaged world that we have.
Hate it.
So when it comes to what they're doing in New Zealand, they have decided they're going to start to deliver fruits and vegetables naked.
In the nude.
Yeah.
Yes, you always need a sexy tagline to get people to do what you want them to do. So the New Zealand campaign is called Food in the Nude, and the goal is by 2025, supermarkets will no longer sell any fruits and vegetables in plastic packaging. You'll have to use something that can be recycled, can be reused, or can be compostable. Back to me. So I was in New Zealand.
Oh, boy.
New Zealand.
Uh-huh. I was on vacation in New Zealand for a month in October, November, and I went to a lot of grocery stores because we were buying groceries because we were in the van cooking our own meals. And I did notice that the fruits and vegetables were displayed way more beautifully than they are here. And I didn't know until I read this article today that that's why. So they did this whole reconfigure in some of the grocery stores that are already doing this. Because if you're not using packaging, they need to have everything be misted. You know, we do that here too, yeah. But everything so that it stays fresh longer. So the way that it looks is like if you went to an old timey market back in the day. I don't know how to explain this. Like, everything's kind of sticking out of the wall as if it's a bouquet in a vase, but horizontal. So there's these, like, walls of produce where the lettuce is just displayed like one of those green garden walls.
Yeah,
do you know
neat.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah, I got it.
And it looks beautiful. And they said in the article that since they started doing this, produce sales have gone up 300% in a lot of the stores because it looks more appealing to people and they want to buy more. So it's a win-win where they're not using as much packaging and people are like, ooh, these carrots actually look good. And their produce is way better than ours is here. It's a much smaller country. Their vegetables in the supermarket tend to look how the vegetables at the farmer's market here look. The carrots don't have all the kind of white skin on them. They all look super bright and vibrant. And they got rid of plastic bags a long time ago. And when you go to the store, you can't pay the quarter to get the reusable plastic bag. They just don't have them. They will give you a cardboard box like they do at Costco to put your stuff in. But people there bring their own bags. But there's no reason that we can't do this. You know, people are going to hem and haw. It's going to happen eventually. I know it is.
Is it more expensive to display them this way? The gorgeous, you're saving on not paying for the plastic, but I wonder if the gorgeous displays with all the mist is more expensive.
Well, otherwise, they had to make the investment initially to, you know, do the new system and buy the materials to make that. But I'm sure that wasn't that expensive. It probably gets paid off and is worth it in the long run. It's just like when all the movie theaters
sales.
Had to turn over to digital. It's like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
But if you look at how markets respond and how people respond as they make decisions there at a grocery store, people are more likely to buy a bag of lettuce than they are a head of lettuce.
Why is that?
Because it's all there. It's chopped up. It says it's been washed twice.
Okay.
Yeah. The chopped up salad or the big box of spinach lettuce. And it's like, well, I could just get this. No, here it is in this convenient box. It's just going to be so much easier. It feels like, well, I accept it in that packaging as opposed to having to get it and then wash it and cut it.
Well, that's fine, but they'll just have to make it a compostable bag. And these things are not on the shelf for that long. It's not going to break down. It's going to, you know, go bad before you could have the plastic or the compostable material. Like, this is what we need to do, because think of all this plastic you use and you get home and then you just throw it away immediately. Like, you use it for such a short period of time. So it's just going to be one of those things that will probably cost people a little bit more. And then, I mean, you know, you have to make these changes.
If it increases 300% the produce sales,
yeah,
that would be a good bottom line reason.
Did you find the story about Amazon and the reusable box?
Yeah, there's not much of a story. It is a company called Living Packets.
Okay.
And the boxes are reusable. They do have batteries because the shipping labels are electronic, so they can change. And that allows you to reuse the same package over and over.
So this was a consumer electronics show. The idea is if you feel guilty every time Amazon delivers a box to your door, and then you have to break it down and the tape and all the other stuff, this thing would be allowed you to be able to ship back and forth. So it would be the box that would Amazon receive the box, I assume, and then it would be, okay, we'll send you your own box back. You'd have it to be able to cut down on just overall waste.
Well, that's like if you rent an outfit from Rent the Runway, they send it to you in one of those garment bags, and it's kind of wrapped up and locked when it gets to your door. There's no box. There's no plastic. Also, here in Seattle, there's a company, I don't want to, you know, give anyone any free marketing, but I think it's called Eco Movers Moving.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
There's a company here that if you're moving, they will rent you all of these big plastic crates so you don't have to use a single cardboard moving box so that there is nothing wasted when you move. There are ways.
Thank you, Rachel. Wow.
To be
she
naked.
Is a real advocate for all
I yes. am. Once you start noticing it, it starts making you feel mad. Not angry. Crazy.
I hope you have fun on your birthday, Moon.
I probably will.
Text us. We do need to hear from you because we give you the last 8 minutes of the show. And if you don't like this, wouldn't that be a horrible thing, huh?
Well, give us more time to talk.
That's true. And we also we stick to the rule that we don't comment on people's text messages.
Almost never.
You were bad about that. You know, you came back. You're a little loosey-goosey. All right. The news is that last week, Mike Leach, head coach for the Cougars, had gone. Somebody had heard that he was interviewing at MSU. And it turns out news just breaks now that Mike Leach is leaving Washington State and heading to Mississippi.
That's right. According to Yahoo Sports, they've picked up on a number of people. Ian Rappaport also from the Rap Sheet has announced that. He calls it a fun hire in Starkville. Mississippi State has had a tough couple of years. They had a new coach. They just fired him after those 2 years. They went 6-7. They are in, just to give you a sense of what Mississippi State's like, they're in the same division, not the league, the Southeast Conference. SEC is considered the toughest college football league in the country, but they're in the same division as Alabama, perennial national favorites, LSU, probably going to be this year's national champion, and Auburn. Mm-hmm. So he has got his work cut out for him. But to move from the Pac-12, which has been getting kind of dissed at the national level, and move to the SEC is probably seen as, you know, a lateral move at worst, and probably a big step up just because the league is so much more respected. I don't know. We don't know anything. We have not had any reaction or confirmation from either of the schools. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Washington State's reaction is. I happen to be listening to Bob Dave and Moore's show on our 710 ESPN. Jim Moore is famous for being a Cougar.
Total homer.
Total
Does
homer.
Does he have owning any clothes that doesn't have WSU written on it? I swear to God, I've known the guy for like 8 years. I've never seen him wear anything that is not those colors.
That's right. I think maybe like I get free passes to movies. Maybe he gets free clothes from Washington State and he
it
wears them
really
all the time.
Something.
But so they were speculating what would happen. How do you feel if he left and he goes, he wants to go, let him go. He's been there 8 years. I think he's really improved the profile of Washington State. He's leaving it in a better place. The suggestion on that show yesterday was that even if he does leave, it's probably a better job for, you know, coaching recruits than it was before he got there because he did so well. Gardner Minshew was the star of the NFL of rookies this year, who turned into an unbelievable phenomenon when Cougars went 11-2. One of those two losses, I have to point out, was to the Huskies that year. But still, this is a big news. I feel bad just because he's kind of he's a character.
You like him for that.
We like him for media purposes. I think he maybe feel more comfortable politically in Mississippi. He's a big Trump supporter, and that's as red a state as there is.
Yeah.
So, bully
but
for
he
him.
Didn't leave for that reason, because Eastern Washington has
that's
Matt
right.
Shea.
That's right. I know. Maybe he can take that. Matt Shea with him. Huh?
Well, the Cougars finished 6-7. This is the fourth year in a row that they, or not in a row, nope. but the fourth year that they have gone under .500. So he doesn't leave with a sterling record, and he goes down to Mississippi. It's all about recruiting. So you say to a young high school player, hey, who are you looking at? We're looking at Mississippi State, or I'm looking here to go there. Well, we got this guy named Mike Leach.
Yes.
Well, how did Leach do in Cougar Town? Well, he did, you know.
No, he did. I mean, he improved. They were 11-2. They were twice, I think, in his reign. They were a game away from going to the Rose Bowl. Uh-huh. They have a pretty high profile. Also, he's fun because he's in the aerial attack. They pass. He's been in the top 10 passing offenses, you know, okay. Like practically every year he's been in. So I think that this seems like a good hire. They've done, they had kind of an off year this past year, but they still, overall, his record has been pretty darn good. And before that, he was at Texas Tech.
Do you think he shows up on people's radar more because of the coverage that he got from, was it HBO or Netflix, or who did the
just recently. Him around? Yeah.
Was it? HBO last season, during the season, yeah.
Yes. During the season, you could go on and watch him and all his crazy stuff he was doing.
But, I mean, he was well known as kind of a crazy guy. He got in some trouble at Texas Tech and then kind of leaving with a, you know, scandal. Was he mistreating his players? But I think that he's proven that he's a good coach, and he can do a lot with less.
Yes. One last little story here that involves sports and news is the fact that a judge has determined that it is okay for a high school football coach to use a foul word in order to motivate the players.
Is that right?
Two players had complained saying the coach used the P word, was driving us and our lack of initiative on a particular drill. Come on, you bunch of P.
Oh.
And then, like, that was very upsetting to us, and it hurt us, and it made us feel like we were somehow being exploited or just hurt our feelings. And the judge said, meh.
It's football.
So, yeah, get over it.
There are P words in football.
Like punt?
Yeah.
All right,
parade.
You know what? We're still strong. America's greatest country in the world. Take us on.